Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to tonight's Comic Book Club. And now here are your hosts, Pete LePage, Justin Tyler, and Alex Zalbin.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And thank you to Jordan D. White for the lovely announcing.
Lovely. Of us. Don Pardo, Jordan D. White.
Is he?
I don't know if that's...
That's a fine
comparison.
Is that
a compliment?
Yeah, it is.
Okay,
wait, right. Who do you think Don Pardo is?
I don't know.
Don Pardo, landmark Saturday Night Live announcer.
Oh, that Don Pardo.
He's the guy that goes,
oh, yeah, that's a big compliment.
Bobby Moynihan.
Yeah, he's thinking of the garbage person, like literal garbage person,
Don
Pardo.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
That he hangs out with who's made out of garbage.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if this is sort of sacrilegious. I gave away probably 5,000 of my comic books over the weekend.
Now, I wanted to ask you about this, because I went away for a week, right?
Yeah.
I was not here last week.
Yep.
I was here 2 weeks ago, and you said, hey, everybody, I'm giving away my comic books for free.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And then last week, I saw you were tweeting, and you were saying, hey, guys, I'm selling my comic books.
Well, here's what happened. I put an ad on Craigslist, and right before I was about to post free comics, I was like, what am I, fucking crazy? There's going to be 100 psychopaths lined up at my apartment.
Yeah, but you want to get rid of them. So
no, I know, but if you put just even a little bit of money, then it weeds out a lot of people who would come.
Oh, like the psychopaths who hit you up on Twitter who are interested in your comic books who are fans of the show.
Oh, here we go.
Those sort of psychopaths?
Yeah, no, yeah. Which psychopaths are you talking
about? I've got it all well in hand. Why? What, is this an attack session? I thought you guys were curious about how it felt to give away all my
comics. We're never curious about anything.
Hey, speaking of attack session, have you seen Captain America yet?
Oh, my God. What?
Oh, you haven't seen it! Are you kidding me?
Jesus Christ.
It's an amazing movie.
So you got all this money from selling your comic books after you offered them for free, and then you didn't use the money to buy a ticket for Captain America 2?
Yeah, the real reason I haven't seen it is because I don't have the cash. I'm just trying to get... I still have a Kickstarter going if you guys want to donate. I want to see
Don't trust this guy.
I want to see it in IMAX 3D, so please. Hey, thanks, friends. I had a great weekend. It was sad giving them all away, but it also was sort of freeing. I kept, you know, a couple, probably.
What did you
probably
keep?
1,000. It's funny what I kept. I kept Unwritten.
Were you allowed to keep stuff? I thought you had to get rid of it all.
I'm allowed to do whatever I want because I'm an adult who has a lot of comic books.
Yeah, but
I'm an adult who is giving away funny books for a whole weekend, a holiday weekend even. I kept Sandman, Starman, all of those
was there
greats.
Really any psychopaths who showed up, or everybody was pretty cool?
Oh, no. There were some crazy people. There were people who were like, I want your books. And I was like, okay, I'll be right back. And then this one dude showed up, him and his wife and his mother, who was like 85 years old, pulled up in the car, and he was like, yeah, give me as many of those as I can take. He was so happy.
Was he really dancing?
Was he really soft-showing?
He was like, yeah, he was moving. I mean, he didn't do a routine or anything, but he was that excited.
Wow.
And I filled his trunk with so many comic books.
Wow, that's cool. And we should start the show.
Oh, well, I was going to ask, how many did you start with? How many do you have left?
I guesstimate I probably had about 6,000, I think, here. And this is just the New York side of the collection. There's my childhood collection upstate. And I'm probably down to about 1,000. I think I gave away about 5,000 copies.
Wow. How does it feel?
It's great. I feel good. Because I was looking through it, I was like, when the fuck am I going to read Ecstatics again? No knock on the book.
Yeah, you're
no
just
knock
not
on the book. Boo. No knock on the book.
Come on. Boo. We should really start the show now.
Jesus, what a great time this is.
Yeah.
Human Target, Justin Tyler, didn't keep that book either. See you guys later.
Yeah. See you later.
Come on, Justin. Why don't you hang around? Because we have a great guest.
I'd love to see him.
Yeah. I'm very excited about him. He is an editor at New York Magazine. He also writes for Vulture.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Abraham Riesman!
Yeah! Welcome, sir. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Come on in.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Thanks for coming in.
Sorry for yelling from the peanut gallery about Ecstatics.
Yeah,
I know, it's a really good comic.
I do love that. I love the book.
Yeah, but when are you going
to
reread it?
That was just the first one that jumped in my head because it was one of those books where you're like, I still remember, because it's such a vivid, good book, I remember it.
Right. Well, and now Dupe's back.
And now Dupe is
introduced in the pages of
Dupe number
Thank
one.
Thank you.
I'm just
so you don't even need to bother.
Yeah. Let me be honest. I have most of those still.
The Ecstatics ones?
I just gave away the last 10 issues.
Do you remember that storyline? And I can't remember whether they called it Ecstatics or whether it was still X-Force at that point. The Alien Gonzalez analog one. Yeah. That's a fun blast from the past. What if Alien was a mutant?
That's when I got bagboarded and graded, because the Marvel Universe's first appearance of Alien Gonzalez is going to be
big time. CGC is all over that one.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Ibrahim, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me. This is an honor.
So I think there's one thing, just because we're all arguing a lot, that we got to kind of clear the air about.
Love arguing.
Oh, jeez, I couldn't believe this.
I heard that you and I are going to have a fight about Mark Millar.
Oh, brother. Well, the beginning of this fight is it's pronounced Mark Miller.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
Although, lose. Round one goes to Aiden.
Although I will say, I just interviewed Brian Michael Bendis for Vulture. It's going to go up. No.
Don't be a dick to our guests.
And also, pot kettle, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, how dare you? No, right, so I just interviewed him, and the post is going up next week. And he pronounced the name both ways over the course of the interview. I hate to out Brian Michael Bendis, but I think his own friends mispronounced being Mark Miller, Millar. They can't get it right.
Bendis in particular, amazing writer, great guy, pronounces things really weird.
He does.
Yeah.
Do you have other examples?
I wish I could
remember. He says aluminium.
Herb, not herb. It's weird.
I feel like he had a weird pronunciation for Galactus.
Oh, well, he did. Was he the one who came up with Galactus in the Ultimate comics? Yeah. So maybe that was just based on his own experience of mispronouncing Galactus.
He refuses to accept Galactus as a character.
But Galactus. That
he also said Spader-Man.
Yeah.
It was close when James Spader was going to play.
So he was talking about... Mark Millar.
Mark Miller. So I recently came into a bit of... So I'm not as completely week-to-week well-read as you guys are on the funny books.
No shame.
I'm just saying. A couple weeks ago, I wrote a post for Vulture about, as a tie-in to Captain America, the Winter Soldier, in which I argued... You know, I was trying to be a little incendiary, rack up those page views, but it came from a real place. I said that I think Captain America is most interesting when he's portrayed at least a little bit dickishly. See? Now you're the entire internet right there.
In this short play that we're doing, he will be playing the part of the internet.
The internet, yeah. I knew you looked familiar. So I put up this post, and of course, because I'm talking about Captain America being a dick, core text for that is the portrayal of him in The Ultimates, which Mark Miller wrote. And so I put up the post, not really expecting anybody to read it. It's not really...
were baiting people. That's like...
Well, I was baiting people because if I wrote, the slightly milder version, then I knew nobody would read it. So also, I knew my editors wouldn't even want to post it because comics is not, the main thing Vulture does. So I usually have to lobby pretty hard anyway. So I wrote the post and, immediately, all of a sudden, for whatever reason, people's Captain America Google alerts went off. And, I had, within, 4 hours, somebody had written a blog post with the headline, Abraham Reisman doesn't know jack about Captain America. Yeah. It's great for my search engine optimization.
Yeah.
Type in them. It was first two words were my name. I was shocked at how the reason I bring up the fact that I don't read as often and am as up as much as you guys are is I hadn't realized just how the degree to which mentioning anything positive about Mark Miller or his work can immediately disqualify you for anything. Make an argument and you bury in there one sentence, you're like, oh, by the way, completely unrelated, Mark Miller, he wrote one good issue of something. People are like, all right, that's it.
Well, and I don't understand, because when did that shift? Because back around when Wanted came out, everyone was just on his jock about everything.
They were
sweating his jock, bro.
Come on.
Get on board, bro. Let's all skateboard.
They were all over his nuts.
Yeah, exactly. They were hanging from that nutsack. You know what I'm talking about, right? The internet?
Yeah. I would say it was when Sin City 2 came out, and that was kind of, or not Sin City 2.
Kick-Ass 2?
Kick-Ass 2.
Yeah, it was people started.
The comic or the movie?
I think the comic.
I agree. Because by the time the movie came out, I wrote a thing for the New Republic profiling Mark Miller, and when Kick-Ass 2 came out, and already at that point, people just immediately just destroyed him, which in their defense, in that article, he did say some pretty unsavory things about rape.
I would argue there are there are two things that kind of brought him down in my personal estimation,
yes.
And one of them is fair, and one of them is totally unfair.
I'm all ears.
Because I loved the Ultimates. I thought it was a lot of fun.
Me too.
I thought it was exciting. I thought it was a different take. Loved the first Kick-Ass. Thought it was over the top, really enjoyable. And then he did that book. I'm completely forgetting the name. It wasn't Superior. It was the one about what if Batman was a
Nemesis.
Nemesis.
That book. I liked it, too. It's awful
and endearing.
Well, that's the thing. There was that scene where they're like, we got you pregnant by your brother and then wired your uterus to blow up.
Yep. Yeah, if you try to have an abortion, your uterus will blow up.
Yeah.
Your incest baby. Oh, don't forget the fact that the brother is gay. So we impregnated you with your gay brother's sperm and rigged up your uterus to blow up if you try to get an abortion.
That was? That scene was like Mark Miller turning over all of his cards.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
All I had was Jokers the whole time.
So there was that. So I think that's the fair one. The totally unfair one is Ultimates 3 by Jeff Loeb.
Oh, but he didn't write that.
He didn't write it. But you read that and it's so blunt, the whole thing, and it takes everything that was good about the first two. And it's the same sort of thing where it exposes, like, all this stuff liked about Ultimates 1 and Ultimates 2.
He did start.
I mean, you know, Jeff Loeb couldn't have, what was it, like, Ultimate 3, number 1, had, like, right away, they're just saying, hey, Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch are definitely actually boning each other. And, like, that had been implicit in the Mark Miller run. So, like, you couldn't just throw that in there out of nowhere if Mark Miller hadn't teed you up to be like, yeah, they're probably doing the incest.
That's what I'm saying.
That was just a thing you can't get over.
That was Jeff Loeb showing his cards, and he was like, oh, I don't even have any cards at all. I love him.
Yeah,
great man.
Easy on Jeff Loeb.
Yeah.
But he had other things. He had, like, a nice rock. And some coins and a stand.
he had rock, paper, scissors. Right.
Some human flesh that the blob could chew on, you know, ultimatum. Anyway, deep cut.
Go ahead.
Mark Miller's book that he just came out about the old guy who goes back to space.
Starlight.
Yeah.
Really liked.
It's fun, right?
I really enjoyed the first two issues.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep reading.
Yeah.
And also the other superhero family book he's doing is great.
Jupiter's Legacy.
Yeah. Really like that.
Yeah.
You really
love that.
Well, and I hated all
when
this
it comes
now.
Out. You know, once every blue moon.
I hated all this middle period like stuff we're talking about. But these two newer books, I think, are really good. That was the tiniest sigh. It was like a little mouse crawled on the microphone. It was like, pew.
More have you to say?
Well, we've talked about Starlight already on the show. I mean, my problem with Starlight is all of Mark Miller's pitches boil down to, what if this pop culture character was instead the opposite?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still, I don't know. It's okay. I just wish it was... There was a little more something going on.
I feel like you've been embracing more extreme comics.
I like them raw.
So maybe you're the next Mark Miller, I think.
So
maybe what if the Punisher was really nice? Maybe that would be a fun one.
That would be right.
What if he was like, hey, Punk, you want some flowers?
This is not funny what you're talking about.
Sorry.
I don't think it's a bad idea.
No.
Well, so we just kind of skipped over this. I'm curious, what was your argument about Captain America?
Oh, well, I mean, I've been reading comics, you know, most of my life, and Cap's never been like, I've always been a Marvel zombie, and I've always felt like Cap is a character I've never really just like been able to grab my claws into on his own. Like, there are great Cap stories, obviously. I mean, like, the whole Ed Brubaker run on Captain America, pretty unimpeachable. You know, he's great within the context of lots of Avengers stories, et cetera, et cetera.
There was one a ways back that I think Ron Garney worked on that was like my favorite run for a long
time. Well, and Mark Wade did a good one, that Heroes Return thing where he had like the shield that was like a proton
laser shield
or whatever. Avengers Forever, one fun thing with Disillusioned Captain America. Anyway, point is, but at its core, I've always thought that the Captain America story has kind of run its course. Like, if you just isolate the idea of Captain America, it's just, like, this flawlessly nice guy who's really charismatic and extremely good at his job, and he's a soldier. And, like, like he sort of gets... the most interesting moments are when he's just used well, like when he's a chess player, you know, a chess piece that a player is putting into a good spot, or when people are doing the whole, like, he's Captain America, like, we have respect for him. That's what Stan, like, puts him apart from other members of the Avengers, is everyone's like, oh, well, Captain America, you have to listen to what he says. And that can be interesting in a story, but that's sort of grandfathering him in. Like, he's respected because he's respected because
he's respected.
Respected.
He still wears the fold-over boots.
Yeah, exactly.
So you gotta, like, that's a fashion risk.
Right. So I'd seen Winter Soldier, and, you know, I thought it was really good. It's a really good movie, but I felt like, at the end of the day, he's just like this perfect bit of fan service. Like every kid on Tumblr who wants to like get behind the idea of like, you know, a perfect, you know, brilliant Marvel universe without any rough edges could love this guy. And anyway, I've always been very, I've had a soft spot for the Mark Miller Captain America and also the Ed Brubaker Cap, who was not like a terrible person, but you have like the revelation that like he basically allowed Bucky to be this you know, child labor situation, like allowed to just as a 16-year-old go murder people, and like that's interesting. Like having him have mistakes that he's made or things they choices that he's made that are they have to grapple with. That's more interesting to me than you know Chris Evans being the nicest guy in the world.
My favorite Captain America I think is Infinity Gauntlet Captain America.
Oh,
when he goes up into space and everyone else is dead and he's just like. Well, he takes a swing at Thanos.
Yeah.
And that, I was like, that's what he got my respect.
Was it George Perez who drew that? Because that's like a,
I think so.
Because that's a great panel when he just like punches the like at this intergalactic war is over. It's like an Indiana in Raiders of the Lost Ark when he just shoots the guy instead of whipping. Exactly. It's like, all right, well, what else left?
That's what I got.
Might as well. Anyway,
I don't know, man. I can hear what you're saying a little bit, but at the same time, for me, like. Cap to me is this guy who the whole story behind like let's take a little guy and give him all who will appreciate all the brawn and all the talent and all that like he's all heart, you know what I mean? So putting him in a world that isn't that way anymore is what's interesting.
Interesting. You are one of the kinder people to rebut my argument.
You're the internet.
And that
mostly pornography.
I'm mostly porn. Yeah. If you
But that's a,
don't search my browser.
Right. Yeah. That's an interesting point. You know, the post where the person said that I didn't know Jack about Captain America, one of the guy's arguments was, you know, well, he it's been established in continuity that he was very much part of like the New Deal liberalism and like it's what if that had gone to war and blah blah blah. And I guess that's a fair point, and I do like, theoretically, the idea of, like, what if a good person was actually given power? But I don't know. I feel like there's something compelling also about telling the story of, like, well, somebody who really, really wanted to go to war and then was really, really good in a war is not necessarily going to be a guy who, I mean, he could still be definitely a good guy, but is he always going to be, like, an immaculate gentleman or like, you know, the most wonderful guy for everyone to talk to in any circumstance. I don't know. Anyway.
Plus he's got to spend like 8 hours a day practicing throwing the shield.
Yeah.
I mean, so that's a lot.
It's very hard. Yeah. You can get an injection to be better at that.
It's like riding a bike.
You ever thrown a Frisbee?
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah. You need to get outside, bro.
No way.
We should start an Ultimate League this summer.
That'd be so cool.
Ultimate League. That'd be good. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll all ultimate be dicks to each other. We'll be real dicks to each other.
Yeah. Do you guys want to go over to Marvel and pitch Ultimate Frisbee?
Ultimate Comics Frisbee.
Ultimate Comics presents Frisbee. I mean, they take risks in the Ultimate Universe. Absolutely. So I think it's
why
worth
not?
It.
Yeah.
It'd be pretty awesome. All right, guys. We're going to move on to our next section, which we like to call the Stack.
Yeah.
Woo!
And in the Stack, we're going to talk about some comic books we particularly like this week. Go to bat for them. First one, there's a little bit of a shocker, though, again, as usual, I think we know exactly why Pete chose this, which is the definition of not a shocker. Superior Spider-Man, number 31 for Marvel Comics.
I got to say, Pete, for those of you who don't know, Peter Parker has been inhabited by Dr. Octopus for a long time, and now Peter Parker is back.
It's a creepy way of putting it.
Inhabited, yeah. Like a little home.
Dr. Octopus has been deep inside Spider-Man.
All right.
Come on, don't do it.
Miller-verse or whatever. But I got to say, Pete, for someone who hated it for so long to be instantly back on board. Not even an issue to think about it. You're like, I fucking love this shit.
I didn't say I fucking love this shit. I said I wanted to talk about it on the show.
Wait, hold on. Just to make sure. So this is the section of the stack where we talk about the books that we really like this week.
Exactly.
And each go to bat for them. Now, your pick was Superior Spider-Man number 31.
Yeah, let's see you at bat.
Can I go to bat
Here
for it?
Here comes the
pitch.
Yeah,
go to bat for it.
Thank you. All right, so.
Now, just to check, do you know what going to bat means?
Yes.
Like, when you're on a team and you go to bat.
Are you really talking to me about sports?
Yo, Alex, get off his jock. He's talking.
Nice, dude.
I got it. I got this.
Cool. So.
He's got your job.
For me,
I'm holding your job.
This was kind of a bittersweet issue because I finally get Peter Parker back, but you have the discussion here as Mary Jane talks about her future with Peter Parker was fucking heartbreaking.
Yeah,
but at the same time, done in such a good way where you're really talking about the issues that I have to respect it.
I want nothing more.
Then Peter Parker to get back with Mary Jane.
But unfortunately, in this continuity, the devil stole their marriage.
Yeah, which was fucking ridiculous.
But that exists.
By the devil, you mean Joe Quesada, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's who we're talking about. He's always referred to as the devil.
I love Joe Quesada, but that was like his call, right? Wasn't that his thing?
It was his thing. And when I was going through my comics, I did pull all those One More Day. And One More Day, I pulled those out, and I kept them.
Nice.
Good.
Oh, yeah, I'm glad you kept those.
Yeah. Cool.
Anyways, Mephisto aside, I feel like I'm glad that it was talked about. I'm glad it was dealt with because it's been fucking bullshit for so long. But to have somebody be able to express why they feel a certain way at least feels a little like, okay, thank you. Don't have a bullshit made-up devil be like, you know what I like? Breaking up marriages.
So you're saying you would have liked it if they just got it divorced?
No, I just think that it was a nice way to fucking talk about it a little bit. Talk about the devil in the room a little bit. Talk about this fucking bullshit that's been going on.
Cool off.
So I very much enjoyed the issue. I felt like this issue, even though it was oversized and I didn't want to spend the extra money because I wasn't sure I was going to fucking like it, I felt like it did a really good job of sitting in all the choices, dealing with it, talk about it. Even the fucking sit down with J. Jonah Jameson at the end was fucking unbelievable. Even though I thought it was crazy, like, he almost had superpowers the way he crushed that spider thing at the end. I was like, he just turned that into mush.
He did mash a ball of metal.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like crushing your TV remote, which is hard. Like,
yeah, exactly.
I mean, I agree with you. I thought the moments with Mary Jane and J. Jonah Jameson were great. Like when he says at the end, like, I wish I hadn't resigned 10 minutes ago or whatever. I thought that was cool and very much in character. I did think Spider-Man beats the Green Goblin in so fast.
Yeah, it just
happens. That was a bummer. I was like, after all this Goblin City and Goblin everything stuff, and then he's just like, Goblin's like, wait, you're Spider-Man? Fuck. Well, I'm going to go live in the sewer.
Yeah.
Right.
Which I was
but
like,
it takes away his powers.
Huh? But
I thought it was a clever way that he does it.
Yeah.
And I like
they've
where
been building
it
over
it.
Just a quick bit of context. Yeah. So they've been building up over the course of these 31 issues that Spider-Man, Dr. Octopus Spider-Man, builds these spider bots, go around the city, can detect crime while it's happening so Spider-Man can be more efficient. Green Goblin, meanwhile, the entire series has been doing this thing where the spider bots can't detect goblin masks. So Green Goblin is safe. So what happens is...
I'd like to check the technology on that.
Yeah, so during this final battle, Spider-Man takes off the Green Goblin's mask, and he's like, what is that going to do? How are you going to possibly stop me? And he's like, well, they can see you now. And then the spider bots crawl all over him, inject him with this anti-goblin formula, because comic books. And then he's not the Green Goblin anymore.
Yep.
So I thought it was a clever way of getting out.
But I also really liked how it was a nice moment to be like, oh shit, you're the real Peter Parker. What am I doing?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I really like that.
I thought it was cool. I just wish this whole series has built toward this confrontation, and it seemed really quick. I wanted more sort of fight or more, not even just like fist fight, but just more of it. Instead, it was just like, it was like reading calculations.
Sure.
It was like Cliff Notes. I thought the emotional beats with Mary Jane and J. Jonah Jameson felt really full and honest and earned.
Yeah.
And I like where we have the Green Goblin saying like, oh, you thought it was hard to deal with me when I was a psychopath? well, now I have my full faculties.
Yeah,
I'm going
right.
to
well,
get
here,
you, which
here's
I think
what
is
I
very
did,
cool.
What I did like about the scene, and I think why it makes sense, is it was supposed to be in stark contrast with what Otto was doing as Spider-Man.
Right. Yeah.
Where he'd come in, even though he's a very smart guy, Otto Octavius is ridiculously smart, he would come in and just beat the shit out of everybody
yeah,
as hard
true.
As he possibly can. So you would get that big fight scene with him. With right. Peter Parker, the reason Peter Parker could beat the Green Goblin and Otto Octavius couldn't as Spider-Man is because he always thinks of another way out of it.
Yeah.
And that's what he did here. That's what I liked.
I will say the reveal where Goblin realizes that Peter is Peter again, yeah. this might be one of the most ridiculous, I'm the only one who could know that,
yeah,
so you
yeah,
know it's
yeah,
me.
I agree.
Where he just says, you know, because Goblin goes on this like four word balloon thing where he's like, I know you're actually Otto Octavius. And then Spidey says, except the dignity of knowing I never carried a man purse, panel of silence. And then Goblin says, it's you.
Yeah.
That's it?
Otto can't craft a joke like that.
Yeah, Otto doesn't do those things.
Well, that's
the
thing.
It's
just a stupid
joke. Oh, it's like, oh, it's because it's a joke. Oh,
yeah.
I'm thinking, like, why is that information?
I agree with you. That stuck out to me because it's elevating the perfect point of being Spider-Man is being quippy.
Okay. Yeah.
I think
being kind of like your jokes are kind of stupid most of the time.
And stupid and poorly timed.
Hey, watch yourself.
Where it's like,
so
watch
you know
yourself.
What? Actually, now in that context, that's actually a wonderful moment. You've yeah. maybe go complete 180 on that. Now, well
yeah.
done.
Yeah. We're
what about
souls.
The homage to the famous kind of
Gwen
silhouette?
Spider-Man no more.
Yeah. What do you think of that? I wasn't.
Yeah. If anything, I would say they skipped too fast over the moment where Dr. Octopus dies. So I like that. They have this moment to the end where Spider-Man's very proud because he saved the day. Nobody had to die. He saved everybody. And then he's talking to the girl that Doc Ock went out with while he was in Peter's body. And
that
girl,
which raises a lot of questions about
yeah.
it. Yeah.
But
I don't know how they're... Honestly, I read that. I was like, fuck. How is this
going to be fixed? I think it's so great about that moment because she's like, oh, thank God. I don't know what I would do without Peter. I love him so much.
And Peter's like...
Ooh.
Ooh. Not in the short girl.
We have to break up.
Yeah. That's a tough breakup.
Yeah, I haven't tried using that excuse in a breakup. Maybe I should.
Yeah.
You should. Every
my
time,
arch nemesis
every
actually
time.
Occupied my body while
and
I was in love with you.
And he's
so.
A jerk.
I'll yeah, tell you what, from experience, every time the girl's like, got it, I'm out of here.
Got
all
it.
Good.
Thank you. Good day.
But thanks so much.
But I do think that, like, the fact that floors him so hard is kind of a crazy, you know, you don't expect that. Like, oh, the evil guy took over my body. The last thing I'm going to expect is someone to be like, oh, God, he was the greatest, right?
Now, here's the other thing, though. Do you think he's really gone?
Doc Ock?
No.
Doc Ock?
He'll
be back.
No,
but not for a while.
What, in Spider-Man?
Because comics.
No,
yeah.
of course
yeah.
not.
Because comics.
All right, I'm sorry for asking a stupid question.
Sorry.
But the question
sorry.
Is... I mean,
we didn't call your question stupid.
The question,
you
we just, play. We mocked it.
Yeah.
The question is, he doesn't have a body anymore, so how
yeah,
does he come
true.
Back?
But we've spent 31 issues where Spider-Man keeps getting erased, and he's like, but I'm back somehow.
Yeah, I'm still a ghost.
And
but
this
I mean,
one, they're like, Doc Ock's like, I'm going to erase myself forever.
But
so, of course he's going to come back.
I agree, but I don't think they can pull the same, I'm in your brain, and I'm sneaking through your
oh,
memories.
Oh, you don't think they would do that?
We've seen yeah. it already twice. We've yeah. seen it twice in these
rule
30
threes,
issues.
Dude,
yeah, rule
of threes.
Come on,
yeah,
you're a comedian,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Speaking of rule of threes, let's turn and talk about oh. your pick, which is Winter Soldier number 3.
Oh!
Yeah.
He's
yeah, nice.
Been waiting for somebody to say 3 for like
right,
2
yeah.
minutes.
Exactly.
I was like, draw out the discussion, you guys. So you love this book.
I love this book. Winter Soldier is one of those. Ed Brubaker's run on Winter Soldier is very good. Then Jason Latour took over, and the book was canceled. And I thought that run was going to be very good. Then I feel like as part of the movie promotion, we get a Rick Remender take on it.
Yeah.
And this is great. It's set back when the Winter Soldier was evil. Or
right.
Being run
just
by the
like
Russians.
The movie.
Communism yep. isn't inherently evil, you know. I'm
yeah. Oh wow.
Whoa,
interesting.
Whoa.
Oh shit.
No,
holy
right.
shit.
What just happened?
All the flags in here just stopped waving.
Oh man. Who did
yeah,
we bring on the show?
The people who are running
yeah.
him.
Sorry,
seem
can I interrupt
evil.
Really quickly?
Sure.
Yeah.
It's a good system. It's just usually destroyed.
Yeah.
By
humans.
Yeah. No, exactly.
Right.
I mean, well, when you get into the logistics of it, it's just difficult to manage.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
But in general, they're just. You know,
but economically,
wouldn't it be great? I was kind of like hoping at some point in like the discussion of the Winter Soldier, like in the Captain America movie.
Like we would bring up communism.
Sorry, sorry. Well, there's no discussion of Marxist Leninism or anything. But like,
lost my power.
Anyway, but no one ever talks about whether he believed in communism. Whatever, it doesn't matter. Yeah. Go on. I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
No, that's it.
That was bothering you during the movie?
No, it wasn't bothering me. I was just wondering, like maybe someday. Well, whatever.
You wanted a shot.
I have weird expectations.
You want a shot of like baby Gorbachev being like,
wouldn't that be something?
I will run this land.
Wouldn't that be great to have the montage be him like with various Soviet leaders just to show up?
Yeah, I'll tell you, I've read a lot of analysis of Captain America: The Winter Soldier, but so far nobody has said what Yakov Smirnoff thinks. Yeah, I think somebody should ask him.
It's a great point.
In Russia, Winter Soldier watches you.
Yeah, we were all trying to come up with one right there. It was
In Russia, Winter Soldier is Summer Soldier.
So
it's so cold there. Yeah. So in this book, there's a lot of Yakov.
I feel like we've talked about this a lot already.
What, this book?
This book. I feel like we've covered it.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a great book. It's making the Winter Soldier sort of a villain, but also telling a great story where he can be just the very seed of good. It's rare that a book with the name of the guy in the title starts with him being pretty much a dick, but there's just the smallest seed of good, and I think that's an interesting take.
Yeah, I think the flashbacks are really powerful, and usually when you're in the middle of a big fight sequence, I'm not a fan of flashbacks, but I feel like this is done really well here. Art's amazing. Remender is killing it writing this story. It's been very enjoyable.
And Bucky has terrible luck with trains on bridges.
That is bad luck.
Really, really rough.
Just avoid take trains.
Yeah, don't take trains.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. End of the issue, a train falls off a bridge.
Sorry.
The train is on a bridge.
It's funny that you said that because I walked over his album while he was just finishing up reading it, and it was on the last page, and he was just like, man, this guy in trains, right?
What I think I said was, Bucky's always be falling out of trains.
Yeah. Amen.
Bucky's be falling, right?
Am I right, ladies?
Very specifically, ladies, men don't answer.
Yeah, men be quiet.
All right, let's move on with our last pick, Batman number 30.
This is so good.
DC.
This is so good.
So, if you haven't been reading it, and it sounds like most of the people here in the audience have, but Greg Capullo and Scott Snyder have been going through this massive... They're like the Batman and Robin of writers.
Who's Robin, you fuck? Who are you going to put?
Yeah.
Who's the
sidekick?
Who the
fuck would you
monster?
Who's the better, I think they're who's the better character?
Who's the better creator? I think it's two Batman.
Yeah, it's two Batman.
And they're best friends.
Yeah. Oh, it's like the Grant Morrison run. One of them's Dick and one of them is Bruce.
Yeah, Zur and R. Anyway.
All right, sorry.
Yeah. Great. I think we covered it.
We're
good. So they've been telling this massive retelling of Batman's origin over the course of 11 issues. We're finally into the final chapter of what's been going on. Riddler has taken over Gotham City, used some of Poison Ivy's plant-growing formula to turn it into a jungle wasteland, is not letting anybody in and out of Gotham, and says, hey, I'll relinquish control if you tell me a riddle that I can't crack. Mm-hmm. And every day, somebody comes up and tries, and every day, they die. Bruce Wayne and Batman lost. They lost the city. They've lost everything. He's knocked unconscious for possibly a couple of days, if not a couple of weeks, while Riddler has been creating his new world order. He wakes up into this, and he has a long uphill battle to beating the Riddler. And I feel like we talked about this book quite a bit. I think it started off very strong. It coasted a little bit in the middle, got a little weird. Mm-hmm. And now with this issue, everything has finally snapped into place.
Yeah.
And it's great. It feels like... It feels like an origin story. It obviously is an origin story, but it also feels like they are breaking new ground at the same time.
I mean, I still think that I read this issue and I was like, what? I feel like it's still in a wandering phase. I wanted to lock down on some stuff that we can hold on to in this story.
What are you talking about?
What can we hold on to? Batman's like, wait, where am I? There's all these trees here. This guy's solving crossword puzzles. We have to come up with a riddle.
No, but
that. Where's
what
our
are you talking
home
about? Okay, it's finally become a very simple story.
So he has to come up with a riddle?
It's the Riddler has taken over Gotham City.
I get Batman
has nothing left. It has to stop him.
Yeah. I get that.
It's a great position
and plus,
to put Batman
there was a really awesome moment with Jim Gordon and Batman.
They are good friends.
What did you think?
What did I think? Oh, goodness. I have to say Jim Gordon is probably the best part of this already just amazing issue.
Yeah.
And, you know, end of the storyline, but not double-sized, gets it done in the amount of time it needs to. But, yeah, you get this Jim Gordon who I couldn't help but hearing the voice of Bryan Cranston. Like, because
wow. Yeah.
He's got the real, like Heisenberg in, like, the last season of Breaking Bad beard going on. Like, this is big, red-headed Jim Gordon.
It doesn't feel like Benjamin McKenzie to you at all.
No. Benjamin McKenzie. Yeah. I really like that animated movie. But anyway, blah, blah, blah. Jim Gordon really coming home as this sort of, like, last-ditch guerrilla effort trying to take back the city that he has. I mean, I don't know. I think you could argue that what it gives you about Batman, at least within the new 52 continuity, is something that is important to establish, which is at the end of the day, Batman is a hero for Gotham, you know? And, like, here we are in this situation where all the roads are closed, which is something that's been done before, admittedly, in, like, No Man's Land or whatever.
I feel like no one's questioning, like, is Batman a hero for Detroit? Or probably Gotham. If I had to guess, I would say he's sort of a Gotham guy.
Yeah.
Well, beyond any kind of character-defining moments, it's just a good Batman/ridiculous rogues gallery story.
And I
where, like, you get the Riddler doing a very specifically Riddler thing.
Yeah,
there's
right.
nothing
it involves
about
a riddle. We have the riddle.
Well, I don't know why you're saying that sarcastically. That's like the point.
No, but I agree with you. I like all the elements on the table. I just like I don't feel like I'm with Batman in the story. I feel like
what?
Just listen.
You're
just
on
wait,
the
just,
Riddler
just,
side.
No.
You want to fucking close everything down and be like, you got to solve riddles?
Yeah.
That's what
I would
want?
Offer you for the rest of the show. You can take over if you can come up with a riddle that stumps even me.
Wow.
No, but what I'm saying is like Bruce Wayne wakes up and he's like, "What's
all
going
right.
on?"
All right. What has Why four you... legs in the morning? Two legs.
Is it a table?
After it's no, it's not a table.
I guessed really early in riddles, so maybe you win. But what I'm saying is, it feels Bruce Wayne and Batman feel lost in this, and I want to know that they... I want to be with them and have it be like...
You want to be
here,
with
them? Here's
you
what's moving forward.
Them? Justin, you got to go to him.
Yeah.
You got to be
okay.
with
him. Slow motion run in the field. Listen, I feel like this is really setting up one of the great Riddler stories. I feel like this is really...
When was the last
awesome
time we had a really great Riddler story?
Yeah.
Like
the last time was when he was a detective, which was actually pretty good. But that was not the Riddler taking a change of character, being interesting.
Right.
For those of you who didn't read it, Riddler decided to be good, and he essentially became the second best detective in all of Gotham.
Yep.
And was just very jealous and angry at Batman the entire time. But it was great. It was a fun character thing. But it wasn't the Riddler being a bad guy story.
Right. Like, this is the kind of thing where, like, if it weren't being done so specifically and deliberately by Scott Snyder, it could have just been a Joker story, right? Like, somebody takes over the city, and the city goes all loopy and crazy. You know, you wake me up in the middle of the night and ask me who the villain is and I'd be like, it's probably Joker. But, like, it's fascinating to have it be very specifically the Riddler, that, like, he's the... Oh, go ahead.
Right. Well, no. I was just going to throw in that the thing that makes it different is this is all about his logic. It's twisted logic.
Yes. Oh, right. Well, he has that great moment where he says, like, this is for the greater good in that, like, I'm trying to create a crisis point where people are going to have to get smarter because the world is coming to an end due to environmental collapse
Joker,
and everything. Whereas the Joker would just do it for shits and giggles.
Yeah, he'd be like, what if we blew up Gotham? What then?
Which is fascinating. You know, you can do great stories that way. But this was a very specifically Riddler story, which... You know, it's not a sentence I thought I was going to say.
I also liked how he woke up to confusion and the fact of, like, this little kid embracing, like, all of Gotham being like, all right, well, if it's riddle time, I'm fucking working on it.
Yeah.
I thought
exactly.
that was so cool.
If it's riddle time.
Yeah.
It's riddle time. Yeah.
Guys, it's riddle time.
And that's probably what they're getting at. I mean, it's not just Batman as a Gotham hero, but the people of Gotham stand up to these
It would be amazing if that little kid, like, fucking saved the day.
If Batman does
and
nothing.
Batman was like, wow, this
man, this guy's a great riddler.
He truly was a riddler.
Exude.
Yeah, exude.
All right, that's
Batman.
It for the stats. Yeah. Guys, we're going to move on to our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions.
Yeah.
And for that, I'm going to come out to you guys, and I want you to ask us anything about comic books. If you have a question specifically for this guy or that guy or the other guy, whatever their names
are. The internet.
Yeah, the internet. That's fine. About comic book movies, geeky stuff, absolutely anything. And in return, we're going to give you a big old stack of free comic
That's
books.
Right.
I'm going to charge you a little money.
So who's got a question about anything? Just raise your hand. You, sir, first hand up over there. I'm going to come over to you. Ask your question, please.
Hi, I know that some of you are in relationships, but if you were single...
Yes, I will go out with you.
Which comic book character would you want to be your wingman or wingwoman?
Ooh. Ooh.
First off, before we answer, I just want to say sweet t-shirt, bro. Sweet t-shirt.
He's wearing our Clerks t-shirt for those of you
great.
Listening at home.
Illustrated. Oh, wow.
Yeah,
wow.
People love Clerks.
Standing ovation from the audience.
Clerks funded by Kevin Smith selling his comic book collection.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You can be the next comic Smith.
I'm probably not going to make a feature film.
Yeah. All right.
You're not even going to make it to a feature film.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, well done.
Ultimate slam. Ultimate slam.
Justin would not be my wingman.
But what?
You're not a comic book character.
Huh? Well, I am. I appeared in Lock and Key and died.
Yeah, you did. You got crushed by a boulder.
That's a great wingman, that. I'll be like,
My buddy died.
My buddy died. Let's make out.
Kiss me.
Please.
I feel like Mystique is the best wingman because you can be anything.
Because she can be other people?
Yeah.
You don't need a shape changer. What do you need the shape changer for?
Well, I'd be like, have you met my friend, whatever, and then it's there, so it's like, hey.
Have you met my friend, the bed we can have sex
with? Mystique, is this weird
Great
with you? Is this weird, is Mystique?
This cool? Is this cool with you? Okay, I see that.
Yeah. Cool, good choice. Justin, what about you?
By the way, Mystique doesn't change into objects.
Hey, why not? What if she was just a human-sized bed that stood up right next to
me? I am really weirded out by your fetishes here.
Hey, man, you should come to my apartment and take
some
comics.
Oh, don't do it. Don't do it. It's a trap.
In my experience, you want to have a wingman that is not as good-looking as you, but willing to take some risks. And so for that, I guess you would choose the Blob.
Oh, man. I don't know if that's the Blob, though.
Huh? No, you're right. You're probably right. I don't know, though. That's not... Because you want someone who's going to help you out, but also you have to sort of be cool.
Yeah.
It's Dr. Doom without his mask on.
I'm going to go with one of the best buddies in all of comics, Volstagg from Thor. The big bad guy.
Volstagg,
he's such a nice guy, and he seems like the kind of guy who, if I were at a bar, he would, if I was talking to a lady or eyeing one, he'd be like, "Oh, have you met my wonderful friend over here? Let me tell you of his tales." And he's so enormous and, not the most attractive guy that it's not a lady is then going to go, "I got to go home with this Volstagg guy."
Yeah.
He's so enthusiastic about
his
friends. He's hungry. He's
hungry.
Yeah, exactly. It would be nice.
Nice.
I could probably sell myself down the river and give my regular answer and say Cypher, right?
Oh.
No, I can't.
You're going to infect somebody with a techno-organic virus?
My buddy speaks any language. And they'd be like, "All right, shut up."
Yeah.
And then we go home. Or you maybe Kitty Pryde. And then we'd hang out and I'd be like, "Oh, this is so weird. We're not hooking up with anybody, and here we are at the bar all alone and drunk." And
you don't hook up with your wingman, dude. You're a perv.
Yeah.
You prove again and again what a weird perv you are.
I guess that's true.
You got two go-tos, and that's it, man.
Yeah, exactly. You give the same answer. You stand at the same spot and say the same answer every week. You're like, "Oh, I guess I would go with
Cypher. Kitty Pryde. Kitty Pryde.
Fine.
Cypher."
Next question, I challenge you to go beyond
Cypher Doop.
Crutch.
I'll choose
Doop.
Yeah, that's good.
Doop would outplay you on all fronts.
You think? Probably.
That's a good point.
All right, next question. Somebody over here, I believe. Do you raise your hand, sir? All right. Oh, if you have to. Okay, wait, here.
Yeah, I have to. Should Fox get the X-Men rights back to Marvel?
Oh, okay. So should Fox give the X-Men rights back to Marvel? I mean, this is assuming, this is getting it out of the way, they're absolutely never going to.
Yeah, it's never happening.
Because they make way too much money on it and it's never going to happen. But should they?
I imagine most
fans and moviegoers would say, yes. Hell yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they won't. They're going to keep making a movie as much as their contract tells them that they're going to make every movie they can. They're going to make the Cypher sequel if they can keep
the X-Men first
character. Why are you doing this to me? I'm standing right here in the same spot again.
No, that's what I'm saying. You have to come up with a different answer.
Here's a question. What characters do you think the Marvel franchise movies are going to co-opt and not call mutants like they're doing with Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Could they do Beast? Just because
he's been an Avenger,
well, right?
Yeah. As long
but
as they
he's already been established as an X-Man. Yeah. I don't think they can take him from them.
Do you think at some point Marvel's going to try to like take legal action to get their players back?
They went like this and signed it away.
Yeah.
There's no legal action to take.
And technically, they're still producers on it. It's not like it's this thing totally. It is pretty much.
Yeah, they still make money on it, but they don't. Right. They lose a lot of creative control.
It would be so amazing to have Spider-Man on the Avengers, and it's like it bothers me that that's not happening.
Well, I think going forward, I feel like as there are so many more movies coming out, there's going to be fights coming, I think.
What do you mean?
Like we were talking about, like what characters can the Marvel Studio
like
claim.
Like Civil War?
What can X-Men claim? Yeah. and what can like Fantastic Four and those guys
don't
claim?
Talk about
like,
well, I don't know if it's going to be fights. I mean, maybe this is what you mean, but it's going to be things like the Quicksilver thing where they announced, hey, we're going to have Quicksilver in the Avengers movie. And then Bryan Singer was like, we also are going to have Quicksilver in our X-Men movie. Hey, he's a major character.
Was that the order of events? I wasn't following closely.
I'm pretty sure that's what it was. Anybody correct me? Yeah.
So I think
it was
right,
very quickly.
Please
after
don't
that.
Bring up Bryan Singer right now.
Yeah.
All right.
go back to Cypher.
But yes.
Some guy.
I think Beast does seem like an interesting natural pick, although he has been established elsewhere. But I don't know. If people are okay with there being two Quicksilvers and Scarlet Witches within the course of like 2 years.
I feel like we care. The average moviegoer does not care.
Yeah.
Because
right.
they also, they don't know the difference, but they don't know any of this stuff that we know, and this is not a slam at all. But most people are like, I don't understand why Batman isn't in the Avengers movie.
Yeah. Right.
Why
right.
Nobody
exactly.
says
right.
that.
People do say that,
people
but
do.
I will say,
what?
If Iron Man showed up in a X-Men movie and the helmet flipped up and it was some random dude, people would be like, what the fuck is this?
Sure.
It's not
but
Iron
I
Man.
Think that's because it's Robert Downey Jr.
Right.
But that's what
it's
I'm saying.
People
the
are
going to
be like,
could
what the fuck? Nicholas Holt isn't in this movie.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Said Jennifer Lawrence at Prime.
Okay.
What? Did you say, oh, because they're dating?
No, I didn't know that. I just like Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah, yeah.
No, that was an awe of admiration.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, oh. How much did we
as viewers luck out that Jennifer Lawrence just like while she still wasn't big was like, sure, I'll be in the X-Men franchise.
Yeah, right?
And now like Academy Award winning actress Jennifer Lawrence is
do
like.
Do you guys feel a little bad for her? Feel like she's trapped just a little
bit?
Yeah,
what? I think
of course.
So.
Her and Michael Fassbender have fun with that. Like,
right.
You get to do fun movies and you get to do movies when you win awards.
Yeah, more serious. Right. Movies like The Hunger Games,
well, fuck
indie flicks like The Hunger Games,
small little movies. Yeah. Anyway, all right. Next question, you sir over here.
First, Pete, I had at least two people ask me like, so how does Superman gonna work into the next Avengers movie?
That's crazy.
Like literally straight up.
What do you say when someone says something like that to you?
Slap
I have to like be very nice, but I have a real question.
Were they Pete? Were they like old
you take
people?
Them and
like
old yeah. people? Yeah, yeah.
Listen, guys, I like.
What are you retarded?
I like
he's the goddamn Batman,
friends, right? But yeah, I mean, it's hard not to just be like, "What the fuck's wrong with you?"
Yeah, right.
I don't know.
Like,
I would just
I mean,
be
like,
nice.
There's a big ass logo in the beginning too. That does anyway.
The logo doesn't say, to be fair, not Superman.
Yeah, the logo. And I tell me.
Says DC, which
tell me some other production company nameplates you can describe to us right now.
There's
anyway,
a lot. Bad
real,
robot.
My real question is I'm hoping you guys answer the question you promised on the Facebook post.
Ooh.
Wow.
How does the Punisher keep track of all those guns? You said, here, you get the
true. This is one of those riddles. You got to solve it, Justin.
Yeah. Yeah. What's
How
up, Riddler?
How does the Punisher keep track of all those guns?
How does he keep track of all those guns? I mean, this is sort of a question to you.
Because he's the fucking Punisher and he knows what he's doing. Guns wow, are his really business.
I'm sorry. I
he
know I'm
knows what guns no, he but has do you think where.
He, did he, does he have labels or does he have, like, tags?
No, he fucking knows guns.
Does he have a spreadsheet? But how does he keep track of them?
Yeah, does he use Google Docs? Does he use Excel? What
I bet
if he
wants to share them with someone else, he's
why would he
them?
Need to? If you know what fucking guns you have, why would you write it down? That just seems stupid.
What would you think? Let me just ask you a question. You get an email message that says the Punisher has invited you to share spreadsheet guns. what do you do?
I would pop in. I would say
if you said no, you probably get shot.
Right.
So.
What's going on here?
I'd like to point out to the listeners that there are two people standing at this point. This has gotten very
tense. I'm sorry.
I just thought that was funny. I don't know.
Real standoff.
Yeah.
What was the name of Punisher's sidekick? Microchip or something?
Microchip.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
I applaud that he keeps track of it. That's his.
I don't know, maybe.
How does Nick Fury keep track of all of his secret base locations? I mean, he knows them.
With the guns, though, all different guns, you use different bullets, you have to have different things. Does he spend 8 hours a day cleaning and oiling them?
Not 8 hours.
This is my rifle. There are many rifles like it, but I
mean. Yeah, exactly.
You got to clean your guns. Yeah.
I never see that in the comics.
Well, that's the boring part. Why would you
show
the boring
part? When
does
the Punisher take a shit? When does that happen?
Oh, that's in a lot. There's a whole series called Punisher Deucing, which you should check out.
Punisher Deuce?
You should check it out. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Issue 2 is amazing.
I remember
Nice.
Yeah. Punisher Deuce Journal, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's loose today.
Gross. Why did you go there?
I'm going to call it. This is the grossest thing we've ever talked about.
Bullshit. You've said much worse things.
Yeah.
Great.
Cool. Did we answer that for you?
I mean, I think you can't be gross. I think it's unfair
to
put it on you.
Why? Where does Punisher keep his... How does he keep track of his guns? I don't know.
All right, well, we'll do this. We'll do this. Justin.
Yeah.
The Punisher has 4 guns in the morning, 2 guns in the afternoon, and 1 gun in the evening.
Did I say table? Three. Did three I say table yet?
Yeah, he's a table. That's
where did he lose all those morning?
I think we answered it.
What did he do with his morning guns? Did he lose them? He lost them at brunch? He left his guns at brunch?
You can't use your morning gun in the evening. It's for the morning.
Exactly.
It's for shooting people in the morning.
Yeah, that's how he keeps track.
It's a buttering gun. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, it's
cool.
You can't use your salad fork with your...
You, sir, over here.
First of all, I would like to say, as a former Marine, like the Punisher was... I know we all know the serial number of our weapons, so I'm guessing the Punisher just knows the serial number of
thank
everyone.
You. That was
wow.
My point.
Okay.
Of everyone, he has thousands.
So to any of
your
listeners who are Marines, hoorah! Now that aside, my question is: all of your favorite characters, since you guys have been talking about that a lot, what's in their Google history search?
Brother.
Okay.
Oh boy.
So name. Who are you going with for your favorite character?
Favorite character?
I mean,
Cyphers is a... He's looking up like a French to English dictionary. He's like,
Google Translate?
I'm getting rusty.
It's my power!
I'm getting rusty with French.
Yeah.
I feel like Wolverine would look up like how to get claw marks out of your couch, stuff like that.
You think he's snicking all over the
place?
Well,
he gets angry watching TV, maybe, and it just, you know...
Yeah. Oh, what he's doing is he's on some sort of like cat forum, and he's like, well, my cat... keeps scratching up the couch and getting hair. My cat keeps getting hairballs everywhere.
Wolverine does have hairballs. What kind of?
He has a lot of hair.
The
on
amount
the
of
sides.
Hair he has, yeah. he definitely inhales it.
You can have a shit ton of beard or facial hair. That
yeah,
doesn't
you don't think all that beard and hair that comes off of him all the time isn't forming bezoars?
I've seen you have a hairball. First off, and what? Second off, a lot of Wolverine's a lot of Wolverine's berserker rages are caused by Wolverine nip. That someone just waves in front of him, and he goes crazy.
No, that's
yeah, there's actually no danger room. It's just one of those fuzzy tower things.
Yeah, he's like...
Wolverine is not a cat, assholes.
Whoa. He's not a cat, asshole?
I said assholes. Because I was talking about you guys.
Prove it.
Great. Rewind the tape. Alex, Cypher?
That's probably his original sin, right? That he was a cat.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, revealed.
Great tie-in response.
Good job.
I feel like we already covered Cypher.
Cypher. Oh yeah.
Should I do another character?
Do you have any? Oh yeah.
I love the Flash. His Google search history is probably everything.
Yeah, he's like, I got some time. Right. Let me really get into it. So let me get into a wiki hole on something. Yeah. I've got some time to pound it out.
Yeah.
Jeez, who's my even favorite character? I feel like Superman is like, what would go good instead of my spandex? Jeans popped up first. And so he's jeans and work boots, so he went with a new look.
So like Gap.com?
Yeah, exactly. He's all over Old Navy. Winter Soldier, he's just Googling Russian people, trying to get to the bottom of...
he's probably Googling Google, right? He's like, what is Google?
Aww. He's missed a lot. It's true.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's got gaps.
I think you'd be Googling, like, oil for arm or something like that.
Yeah. Oil can? He just Googled?
Yeah.
Oil ka, and that's when his arm froze up. It's like, oh, I'm so close to getting this.
Oh, brother. Man, I'm trying to come up with a witty response here that's not like Cable looking for laser eye surgery. Or
I think we could count
You know what?
That.
Let's go with that. We'll count that one. All right, there we go. Laser eye surgery.
And I think we had one more question in the back there. So I'm going to go over to you. Here we go.
Thank you, sir.
Nice Batman shirt.
Thank you. So we had Damian Wayne being killed. We had Doc Ock invading Peter Parker's body. What do you think will be, or what do you hope will be, the next big shakeup in comics?
Ah, ooh, nice. Good question. Good question.
The hard part for me, and I hear what you're saying, is like I hate when they do bullshit like that. I just wish they would keep it.
Bullshit, what do you mean?
Keep it mellow for a little bit and just write some good kind of...
But Marvel did that for a while with, like, Heroic Age and stuff. Like, there wasn't any, major change that happened.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
You'd want to see that, though? You want to see, like, DC's big event be keeping it mellow?
No, not like... But just like, hey, let's just do a little bit. Give me a couple months of just... Batman being Batman, or you know what I mean? Yeah. Like Spider-Man just solving
crimes. In
this
issue, the Avengers take a chill pill.
I'm not saying hanging out playing baseball and fucking X-Men stuff.
No, but I would like that. I was going to bring up, this was almost my pick this week, was Amazing X-Men number 6.
Yeah.
Because
play
the
baseball?
Majority of the issue was just Nightcrawler and Wolverine hanging out in a bar.
That was a great issue. I really like that issue.
I miss that. I do miss those issues where every once in a while the X-Men
Right, but
would
you have to like earn having that by having all
the
kinds
of I feel like
action.
I derailed this question. We should get back to it.
Yeah. So what do you think the next big shakeup is going to be? DC or Marvel?
DC's doing... They're doing some weekly books coming up, I think was announced.
Yeah, so they have a bunch of stuff going on at the same time. They have Batman Eternal, Future's End, and World's End. World's End takes place on Earth 2, presumably based on the title, is going to end that world. Future's End shows what happens 5 years later when Brother Eye takes over.
Is it only 5 years? Because they have Terry McGinnis as Batman. I guess in DC time now, 5 years means whatever.
Right, exactly.
Life's
And then Batman Eternal, the thing that, Dan DiDio went online and talked about this weekend. All three of those titles are ending about the same time next April. And he mentioned, isn't it interesting that two of them are end and one of them is Eternal? Wouldn't that be interesting to see what happens next? So I think, that's a while off. I don't know if there's a big shakeup, but they're definitely going to do some sort of... They've been promising since the beginning of the New 52 that Darkseid is going to return, is going to attack Earth, is going to attack the multiverse. So I think we're going to see some form of a crisis type thing happening then.
Another multiverse, like a multiverse event? Is that possible?
Yeah.
But to answer your question, I would like to see Batman become the Red Lantern and then Cyclops to die.
Is that related in the same issue?
Nope. Yeah.
Because just, Batman... crosses over with X-Men, right?
Yeah, yeah.
What is that going to happen?
Amalgam universe. I think, a lot of things happen in tandem with the movie, so I feel like Guardians of the Galaxy, something big will happen soon.
I cannot wait for that movie.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I know. I haven't been this excited about a Marvel movie, I think, since, like, the first Iron Man.
I am.
Because I have no idea what it's going to look like. It's so good.
Keep watching the trailer over and over again.
Well, with all the Avengers franchise movies, even if one is good, like Winter Soldier, it's like, visually, it's not drastically different from the other Avengers franchise movies you've seen. But, like, we're going to have, like, Gamora and, like, you know, Drax.
It's cool. They can get weird.
They're going to get weird. Mega weird, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, and that's it for your audience questions.
Yeah.
Guys, we're going to move to our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
All right.
Yeah.
Guys, this is the part we get back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. It's an opportunity to win $25 free dollars in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics, because let's face it, if you had money you spent on comics. Who would like $25 free? Yes, you first stand up guy.
Yeah,
come on up.
Come on up. Come on up. It's
come
easy.
On up. Here,
you
take that microphone.
Win.
All right, sir, what is your name?
Andrew.
Andrew, audience. Audience, Andrew.
Woo-hoo.
All right. Andrew, you're in luck today because I've been taking a lot of heat with how hard this trivia is. So these are easier.
All right.
Easier questions, all right?
Oh, wow.
So it's This Week in Comics, so as long as you read every comic that came out this week, you have no problem getting these right. I'm going to read you a question, listen to all three possible answers, pick the right one, and you're win $25. All right, in Wolverine number 4, all of these questions are WTF moments.
All right.
So in Wolverine number 4, what is the biggest WTF moment? Is it A, Wolverine leaving the team, B, Wolverine being a dick to Storm, or is it C, Wolverine's fake bullshit claws? And I will accept any answer.
I'm going to have to say C, his bullshit claws.
Yes, thank you. You are correct, sir. Here we go. In Hulk number 1, what is the WTF moment? Is it A, the smart doctor slow to realize he's operating on the Hulk, even though there's clearly pictures of him everywhere? B, making Bruce Banner dumb? Or is it C, no payoff for the Donkey Kong variant cover? So any of those will do. So it's either A, smart doctor, or B, making Bruce Banner dumb.
I'm going to say B, making Bruce
Banner
dumb.
Yeah, not a smart
nice.
Move. Not a smart move. Very disappointing. In Winter Soldier number 3, what is the most WTF part? A, the train catching fire and going off the cliff. B, the unnecessary bitch slap. Or C, the electric shock guy who keeps referring to himself as Shocky, getting his face melted off.
Well, I didn't read this, but I'm going to say Shocky sounds pretty good.
Yeah, cool. All right. Congratulations, sir. $25 free of yours.
Unbelievable. Nice, nice. Guys, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
Daredevil number 2.
Ooh, yeah. Loving that. San Fran Daredevil.
Yeah, I'm excited to see this new fresh start in San Fran. I feel like their first issue was very enjoyable. I'm excited to see where it goes.
I think the cast of Full House is appearing in this.
Yeah,
is that
true? Oh, man. And Rice Aroni.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. That is the treat.
Cut it out.
Okay, nice. I'm looking forward to The Bunker number 3 by Josh Fialkov and Joe Infernari. Great book. It's about these friends who go, they're digging, they're trying to bury a time capsule. They find a bunker that has letters from their future selves about how they end the world, basically. And it's very good, very great book, art and writing. Definitely pick it up if you can.
Cool. I'm looking forward to Ghosted number 9 from Image Comics.
Yeah.
This started out as a limited series, went on to an ongoing series. It's about kind of a jerk who ends up in heisty mysteries involving ghosts and possession and other things. I'm pretty sure this is wrapping up the current arc. Not 100% sure about that, but the series has been great so far. A ton of fun, so definitely check it out.
I am looking forward to Manhattan Projects number 20.
Great
book. Love Manhattan Projects. For those of you who don't know, it started out as this alternate reality. What if the Manhattan Project had actually been a cover for a bunch of other really weird science experiments, and now it has gone so crazy go nuts that that premise doesn't even really have anything to do with it anymore. Now it is just like there is an army of Oppenheimers inside Joseph Oppenheimer's head fighting Robert Oppenheimer, and then there are aliens that may or may not only exist in people's minds, and then, you know, General Westmoreland is blasting a bunch of extra-dimensional creatures. It's a complete
amazing
trip.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's awesome.
It's Jonathan really good.
And
yeah.
Plug your stuff. What should people
check
out?
Oh, yes. If you want your repository for all Abraham Reisman needs is abrahamreisman.com. It's I before E, although I have registered the misspelling of EI. So abrahamreisman.com, or you can follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/AbrahamJoseph, and I would love to see you there.
All right. Awesome. Very cool. Couple of things before we go. Pete?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about all the amazing guests we have on the show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
You can check us out at comicbookclublive.com, nerdist.com for the podcast and more. A couple of people we want to thank. We want to thank our fabulous interns, Evan Bell, Tomer Dar, Craig Fletcher, David McKay, and Riley Trahan. Want to thank Abraham for being
on the
show.
Thank you for having me, guys. This is great. Woo!
Want to thank everybody here at Fontana's. But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 7 p.m., totally free. Tell your friends. Good night.
Thanks, everybody.